Blessed morning, everyone. Blessed morning. It's good to see all of you here with all the children in our midst today. It's wonderful to be able to worship the Lord together as a family. Amen. Right? It's a blessing to be able to worship together as a family, right? Especially in these days. Now, this morning, we are privileged to actually have Brother Jerome, Sister Sharon. They are the missionaries whom our church has been supporting over the last 9 years. They are doing some missions work in Sri Lanka in a place called Habanara, right? And they are actually having a school where they are ministering, and it's an outreach and a school that's catered for ages 2 to 5 years old. They are also supporting a pastor's network there, and they are doing a community outreach during crisis, and also during crisis period. So it's not like a regular thing, but it happens during crisis, and they will do something for the community. I was having a chat with Brother Jerome, Sister Sharon, and they were saying that unfortunately, over the last few years, Sri Lanka has been going through crisis after crisis. So they have been very busy and very active in reaching out to the community. So I'm just going to invite Sister Sharon up right now. Would you join me in welcoming Sister Sharon as she shares with us what's going on in Sri Lanka? Come, Sister Sharon. Thank you for being here with us. All right.
Thank you. I know a lot of good mornings have been said, so I will say, as our sister in worship said, a blessed day to all of you. Grace City Church, it's so nice to be back with you, and you have been warm and welcoming to us as always. Okay, so there's a lot to say, but I have managed to concise it, I hope. For those of you who don't know us, we've been here, I think Jerome's been coming to this church for probably 6 or 7 years. And this is what we call home church in Perth. We thank God for that we have a home church in Perth. So you are our home church, you are our family, and thank you for making us part of your family. So Bethel in Habarana is the name of our charity. We are registered in Australia and in Sri Lanka as a charity. One slide back, please. The creating opportunity that transforms community is what God put in my heart even before we had started anything. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know what it looked like. But God put this in our heart. And today, we see that outworking. We see that is exactly what we're doing. We are there to create an opportunity for people to come and be transformed. And we're really seeing that happening. So God is so good, and He's so wise, and He guides us and leads us. So we thank God for that. Yes, we'll move on to the next slide. So a bit about our story again, for those of you who don't know us. So we were born and lived in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, in this area here. But we studied, and we were adults when we moved to Australia. But we lived in Victoria, and we had very comfortable, normal lives. We were in a really super fantastic church. We were involved in that church in ministry, but also, we were not just Sunday Christians. Jerome and I would go to the church on weekdays and volunteer our time and services. So you know what? We thought we were in ministry serving God to our fullest, but God had other plans. So He actually put it in our heart in 2010 to buy a property in Sri Lanka in a region that we are not familiar with. And that region is here in the north central region of Sri Lanka. Now this is actually the heart of Buddhism. Buddhism was brought into Sri Lanka, and it's actually right in this center here. And you know where God planted us? Right in that center there. That's where we are. So we are in a location where people are over 95% Buddhist, practicing Buddhist, and they're very enthusiastic about their faith. Therefore, they do not welcome Christians or any other faiths in that area. They don't like anyone from any other faith coming into their places. So God called us here, and God is a God of the nations. He loves everybody. He does not want to see anyone perish, right? So he has taken us there. And when he asked us to go there, God put it in our hearts very clearly that we ought to live out the gospel, because we cannot speak the gospel. We cannot go and say Jesus there. But let me tell you something. We've been there for 9 years, as Pastor reminded us. Can I tell you that the spiritual realm has shifted? It has shifted. Praise God, right? After 9 years of hard labor, the spiritual realm has shifted. We can actually talk to people one-on-one, and even in our outreach, we can actually say to people now, we are doing this because of Jesus. We are here because of Jesus. The reason for that is they know us now, they respect us, and they know that we're not there to push a religion or a conversion on them. They know that we genuinely care for them. They know that we're there to support and help them. So we'll move on to the next slide. So one of the things that God put on my heart is do what you know to do. And we started a Montessori school because I am a Montessori trained teacher. And this is the face of our mission. This is what people know us for. And on the next slide, you will see if you were to come to Habarana, and I do invite you all to come on a missions trip, come and see what we do. So this is what our school looks like. If you were to come, this is what you would see in Habarana. So let's move on to the next slide. Now, when we take in a child, we don't just take in a child. We actually believe that we are taking in a family. So we have an interview with parents before they come in. We ask them about their background. We ask them how many family members. And we try to support the entire family. For example, a mom or a dad is in hospital. We would go and visit them. A sibling needs some help with their education. We would support them. So we don't just focus only on our child in the school, but we try to make connection with the family. And as a result, we have created partnerships with every family who's been with us. And by the way, 120 students have now graduated from our school since we started. So that means 120 families at least that we have one-on-one connection with. So we thank God for that, and we get our parents to participate in everything that we do, and they really come and join us all the time in all that we do. So we'll continue to the next slide. Okay, so this is special to me because in Sri Lanka, this is an uncommon thing, you know, having an actual graduation for kids and getting them to dress up like this. It's really special. So everybody loves this. And I need to tell you a testimony about this particular batch who you see here. They just left us only January this year. And last week, so they've gone into grade one class now. 9 of the students from this batch has gone into a school which in Sri Lanka they call an international school. It's actually an English medium school because we don't have English medium schools, but they call it international. So 9 of my students have gone into an international school which is in a further district. They travel 40 minutes up and down every day. But just on the 3rd of April, that particular school had a meeting for the very first time with the parents of these grade one students. And they took in 200 students this year. And one of the things that was said at that meeting was the 9 kids that came from the ELC in Habarana are the most outstanding. I just can't thank God enough. You know, because every school that our students have gone to, they are outstanding. They are the first in their class. They stand out in etiquette. They stand out in discipline. They stand out in every way. And we keep getting this feedback that these kids are special and they're different. So much so that on the 4th of April, the Department of Education in that region has had a meeting and said, we need to find out why these kids are different. Isn't God so amazing? I mean, this is like such a great achievement for what God is doing in the lives of these kids. So we praise God for that. So we will continue to the next slide. So one of the things we do when our students are leaving us is we ask the parents, can we bless them and anoint them in the name of Jesus, because that is our faith, and Jesus wants to bless everybody. So please, can we bless them before they leave? So from the very first year, we've had the opportunity of blessing these kids. And when it was burdened on my heart, I said, God, what happens to these kids when they leave us? And the Lord put it on my heart that I have sealed them with the Holy Spirit, that God is with them even though they leave us. So we anoint them and we proclaim this blessing upon them before they go. But church, can I tell you something? This year was special. Something very special happened this year. And you know what? While the kids are standing and I was anointing these kids, the mothers, they actually came and they knelt before their kids. And they said, teacher, please anoint me. And you know what I realized? Jesus, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. And this happened to us just this year in January. So I see that God is truly working in this community, in these people. And that is why he has placed us there, to give them that opportunity to transform this community. So we thank God for that, and we'll keep going because there's so much that God is doing that we like to share with you. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so Pastor Aaron mentioned the pastor's network. I think Grace City Church, you should remember this, that during COVID time, you supported these pastors. You actually sent us finance because they were really struggling. They were not getting their salaries, or they were not getting support from even their local churches. And when we asked you, you supported them. So you are very much a part of their lives. And we thank you that some of these pastors here, we've helped them to start up small businesses. And these are some of the pastors that we blessed during COVID with what you supported us with. So we thank God for that. Pastor, you spoke about connect groups. This is what a connect group looks like in Sri Lanka. This is one of our connect groups. So they meet in houses because we can't have church buildings. And these pastors are severely persecuted. They're constantly being brought to the police. They're constantly being accused by the Buddhist monks falsely. And they just can't do things openly sometimes. So they work in a very restricted zone. And what we see about them is they and their families live very sacrificial lives in order to live out the gospel in this area. So this is what they do. And we believe that God has placed us there to actually support them. And we are now connected with them as well. So we continue to the next slide. Okay, so we spoke about community outreach and about crisis. Sri Lanka faced its biggest crisis of economy in 2022. And when I kept hearing this, one of the things that kept on coming on the news is children are malnourished. And it so happened that the kids were most malnourished in our area. And God put it on my heart, God actually very clearly spoke to me about giving out 600 nutrition packs within a period of 6 months, so which means 100 packs a month. So when we worked out, I spoke to Jerome, let's make a budget. It came to $35 per pack. Now, when we thought of the finance, it was impossible, but I said to the Lord, I said, Father, if you say do it, I am willing to do it because you are going to provide. We don't have the money. You will provide. So I took a step of faith. We sent out messages. Money started trickling in. The very first month, we gave out 104 packs. So we were like so excited. Yay, God, you're faithful. We gave out 104 packs. You said 100. We did four more. But the second month, how are we going to find the money again for so many packs? And then we sent out a message to our board in Melbourne. Our board members actually cooked packs of rice and they sold it into the church. And we made the next 100 packs. So we were like, yes, God, it's awesome. It's amazing. Now we got a third month to go, but you are faithful. You know, the third month, in the meantime, ACCI, which we are connected with, International Missions and Relief, they said to us, if you have a project, just put it on our website. We'll send it out to the churches. So our project was on their website. And you know what? The third month, we got a donation from a church that covered 300 packs. And I said, wow, Lord, this is amazing. Do you guys think that's amazing? Do you think that's all God can do? No, he can do far greater than that. You know, 2 months later, we got another donation from another church. Now, these churches don't know us and we don't know them and they don't even want to be known by us. But they put in a donation that when we finished this project, it actually ended just before I left, which was in January of this year. We have given out 1,284 packs. You know, it's tiresome to work for God sometimes because we were packing like thousands and thousands of kilos of rice, thousands of eggs. I would go to the shop and buy 2,000 eggs at one time and the shop owner would look at me, what are you doing? And, you know, we used to buy thousands of kilos of goods to make up these packs. And we did this for over 1.5 years. And this is how amazing our God is. You know, church, I have come to a place where I cannot ever doubt God for provision anymore. That is where I am now. So I thank God for his amazing provision. So we'll continue, and I'm almost coming to the end. If we go to the next slide, please. The other one. Yeah, so this is our community that we did this outreach with. And if we move to the next slide. Okay, this is our most amazing staff and team. And I know the picture is not very clear, but these are the people who are on the ground now, running the school, doing everything that they are supposed to do, even with us away. So we thank God that they have grown to a place that they can actually run this mission without us. And I think that's a great achievement as well. So we praise God for them. And the next slide. Yeah, finally, to close with, I want to share this one last testimony. So Sandha is actually a staff member. She joined us about 4 years ago. Her son came into school and I said, look, if you're doing nothing, would you like to come and help us by working for us, you know? And long story short, she became an employee. So her job is actually cleaning. She started off with cleaning. And she would go into our rooms and, you know, all the areas that we were living in, and she would clean. So in my room is my prayer room. She would go into my prayer room. Now, Sandha comes from a Roman Catholic background. So she had some idea and knowledge of the Bible. And when she would go into my room, she would come out and say to me, I heard a voice, or a scripture came to mind, and I opened your Bible, and, you know, I read this scripture, and it did something to me. Now, you have to understand one thing. She comes from a Sinhala-speaking background. She does not know English. And then this was going on. I didn't actually pay much attention because, as you know, I'm not supposed to convert anyone. So I didn't pay too much attention to her. And then one day she came and said to me, she was so excited, and she said, oh, I was praising God in English. And I said, really? Are you sure? She said, yes. I said, okay, do you remember? Could you repeat it to me? What did you say? And then she said, praise you, Jesus. God, I love you. I worship you. And, you know, things that you and I would say, she was actually repeating this in English, and English is not a language she speaks. And I realized that God had actually given her the gift of tongues. And I said to her, we got to now do something about this because for sure God, you know, is doing something in your life and now we have to do something. I said, what can I do to help you? And she said, please, please teach me the Bible. And I said, yeah, of course, I'll teach you the Bible. So there's this wonderful course, Christianity Explained. And it's a six-week course that introduces Jesus. And I did the course with her. And oh my gosh, she was so on fire. And at the end of it, she said, I want to be baptized. I just want to be baptized. I said, hang on a minute. We'll wait till Jerome comes because I don't want to do this by myself. So we waited for Jerome to come and we took her to this most beautiful tank around our region and we baptized her. So we want to tell you, church, God is working. He's doing exceedingly, abundantly, far above what we can ever hope or imagine. You know, this is what God is doing where we are, and we are seeing the power of His Spirit work immensely. And I want to thank God that we said yes, and we are there, because we see that there's an open heaven where we are. Bethel means house of God. Jacob had an encounter with the Lord in this place called Bethel, and when God said to us, name the place Bethel, God also gave us a promise that there would be an open heaven and people will have opportunity to encounter God in this place. And we are starting to see that now, and it's all God's work. We just want to thank Him for that and praise Him. And finally, if you can go to the last slide, Grace City Church, from our kids, from our parents, from our community, and from us, especially Jerome and me, we want to say a big thank you to you for being a partner with us, for supporting us with your prayers, your encouragement, your finance, and mostly for helping us to build the kingdom of God, as Jesus said, to go to the nations and to preach the gospel. So we thank you that you are a part of that with us. God bless you.
Wow, thank you so much, Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, if you were just to stay, and I would like to invite Brother Jerome up. Can we pray for Brother Jerome and Sister Sharon, even as they continue the work? I'm going to invite the missions team to come up as well, the missions committee members. Would you please step forward? Pastors, please, would you step forward as well? And we're going to, shall we all stand, and shall we just stretch our hands forward, and let's just pray and bless them, all right? Come, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we want to thank you so much for the wonderful work, Lord, that you have called Jerome and Sister Sharon to do. Lord, we thank you, O Lord, that truly we can see that your call is being made manifest in their lives in such wonderful ways. Lord, you have shown yourself to them. You have revealed yourself through them. To the community that's around them, they see the glory of Christ. They now encounter the person of Christ. And we thank you for these, for Brother Jerome and Sister Sharon, that they have made themselves available as willing vessels, as your hands, as your feet, and your lips, O Lord, that they have been faithful to the call. Lord, even we pray that you will continue, O Lord, to do greater works in and through them in the days ahead. We ask for a greater measure of your Spirit, Lord, to come upon them. Lord, we ask, O Lord, even for the windows of heaven to open, O Lord, even wider over them, over the ministry that they are doing. And Lord, that you will empower them, empower the staff, O Lord, with your Spirit. Lord, may you give them more encounters with you. May there be greater manifestations of your presence and of your glory in that place. Lord, may your presence be so strong and be so attractive and so present, O Lord, that it brings and draws people into that place, O Lord. They cannot help but to be drawn into that place. And when they come into that place, Lord, that they too will fall on their knees and acknowledge you as Lord and as Savior. Father, we ask and pray that you will continue to provide for them, that in every area, Lord, of the ministry, Lord, let there be no lack, but let there always be an overflow. Let their vats always be full and overflowing. And Father, we ask that your hand of protection will be upon them, that you will send your company of angels angels to surround them, to, Lord, encamp around them and keep them from the evil one. That, Lord, that as they do your work, O Lord, Lord, that you will just put a shield around them and let your kingdom, O Lord, advance in that place, O Father. So, Father, we pray, O Lord, that even in the days ahead, that both Jerome and Sharon, Lord, will be able to continue to be faithful to your call, to whatever that you put into their hands to do, to wherever you lead them to go. And Lord, may your blessings, O Lord, be multiplied unto them and upon their family. May your shalom be upon them. We entrust them, Father, even into your hands right now. And this ministry, let it forever bring glory to your name. Let the name of Jesus always be magnified and glorified in and through this ministry. We ask all these now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Well, that's just such a wonderful testimony, isn't it? And it's you know what? It's just so in line with Acts chapter 2, which we were supposed to talk about today. And I'm just beginning to wonder, you know, if they have actually already preached the sermon, you know, through Acts chapter 2. And I was just wondering to myself right now if I should just put my script away, you know, because I just feel that, you know, whatever that Sister Sharon has shared about what they are doing in Sri Lanka itself, you see that there is an overflow and there is indeed an outpouring of the Spirit. God is present, right? When she gave the testimony about how her staff would be walking into the place, and when she walks into the place, she will sense the presence of God, and she will receive a word from God, and she speaks Singlish. She doesn't know English, and she receives words from God. And one day, she started bubbling up in other tongues, in English. Isn't that reminiscent of what we read in the book of Acts, of how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they spoke in other tongues? Isn't that reminiscent of how the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and his family and they spoke in other tongues as well, right? So God's presence is there. And you see that in their ministry, one of the hallmarks or the trademarks of their ministry is that Christ is proclaimed. Maybe not in the traditional way of in preaching and in mass rallies, mass evangelistic rallies, but Christ is proclaimed through their lives. And that is what exactly God has called them to do, to be at. And you notice, in the place where we think it's most unlikely, where we think that it's most spiritually dark, that's exactly where God wants us to be. Because we are called to be His light. We are called to be His salt. Amen? So what is light? How is light useful if we are always gathering in church in a place of light? And then we try to see whose light is greater or brighter, right? When it's already bright. But God will call us exactly to step out of our comfort zones, moving from their hometown into the middle of Sri Lanka, where it is spiritually dark. And that's where His light shines the brightest. Right? We see that happening. And so the whole entire testimony of Sister Sharon is actually an illustration, a real-life illustration of Acts chapter 2. It is Acts chapter 2 being played out today. And sometimes, as we even go into Acts chapter 2, and I'll just maybe give a bridged version of the sharing itself, we will see that sometimes we argue amongst ourselves, we quarrel amongst Christians, and we say, is the gift of the Spirit, are the gifts of the Spirit still in operation today? Is the Holy Spirit still working in the same way that He did back in that day, during that time in the book of Acts? People, if you were to hear the testimony, if you were to step out into the mission field, into the ground, you will see that the Holy Spirit is at work. And He's not only at work, He's doing great works. greater and greater as the days go by, because the Lord is returning soon. And there is a greater measure of glory. The darker the days are, the greater will be the glory. So can we just quickly now just tune our hearts in to the Lord, even as I just take us through very quickly on Acts chapter 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we come before you with all humility and humble hearts. We recognize, Lord, that we in ourselves, we are nothing. And that, Lord, that we are humbled that you would choose to work in and through us, frail vessels. But Lord, even as we offer ourselves to you and as we place ourselves right now before you, we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak to every one of us? Would you give us your word for us this morning? And would you help us to respond to your word with open hearts, with open minds? Help us to be truly, O Lord, even faithful and fruitful as how you have purposed for us to be. So we give this time to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I really want to quickly take us through Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 covers a very significant event in history. A significant event, perhaps one of the most important events in church history. And we call that the day of Pentecost or the Pentecost event. But this event, while it's been so wonderfully significant, unfortunately, especially in modern days, it has generated a lot of debates, a lot of discussions and controversies. Things around speaking in tongues, things around the baptism in the Spirit. And unfortunately, it becomes a distraction. It takes us away from the main point of it. And this morning, I just thought that in addition, in supplementing what we heard from Sister Sharon and Brother Jerome earlier on what God is doing, we want to take a step back and to realign ourselves and to re-look at what was the purpose of the Pentecost event. Why did it happen? And I'll just take us through very quickly, all right? And I just pray that the Lord will speak to you. If you have got more questions, please feel, I'll be happy to chat with you. You know, after the service or in the course of the week, whichever, okay? Just feel free. Now, Acts chapter 2 has to be read in the context of Acts chapter 1, all right? You have to know that in those days when he wrote the book of Acts, there was no such thing as a chapter and a verse. He wrote it in a go, right? And so Acts chapter 1, we see that the disciples have encountered Christ, the risen Christ, right? He has encountered the resurrected Christ. We see that they have received commandments from Christ. Christ commanded them two things. One is to make disciples of all nations, to be witnesses to him, for him. And two, before they are to set off on their mission, they are supposed to be waiting in Jerusalem for the power from on high, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that was the command that was given to them. And then after that, Jesus ascended into heaven, and the disciples received a promise that Jesus, in the same way that he ascended in glory, Jesus will return. He will return a second time. All right? And with that, the disciples went to Jerusalem and they devoted themselves to prayer with the anticipation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that is the context in Acts chapter 1. Then we come to Acts chapter 2, and I'm just going to read us a few verses, okay, in Acts chapter 2. Probably from verse 1 to verse 13, and I will just omit a couple of verses in the interest of time. Now, when the day of Pentecost arrived, now, Pentecost, all right, was one of the three annual festivals. It was an important festival where Jews and converts to Judaism would actually make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, to celebrate that festival in the temple, all right? So, Pentecost was also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Tabernacles. Sorry, not the Feast of Tabernacles, but the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, and the Day of First Fruits. Okay? It was about 50 days, celebrated 50 days after Passover. So on this day, on Pentecost, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" And then we move on to verse 11. It says, "We hear them telling in our own tongues, in our own language, the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and they were perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" So we see here that the way that Luke described the coming of the Holy Spirit was likened to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. And here we see that the disciples, we say that they were baptized with the Spirit, but we could also say that they were filled with, because when they were so immersed in the Spirit, they were so soaked and filled with the Spirit that they broke out in praises of God in other languages. Just as how the staff at Sister Sharon's ministry in Bethel, she broke out in English, praising the Lord. "Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you." So, why did this Pentecost event happen? It was in fulfillment of the promises of God and God's sovereign timeline, His plan for redemption and salvation in this world. It was in fulfillment of that. We see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21, the Apostle Peter would explain to the crowds that this event was a fulfillment of the prophecy by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, where he says that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. What I'd like us to take note of is that these last days, it's the time period between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. It started when Christ came and He inaugurated the kingdom of God by His arrival, by His death, by His resurrection. The kingdom of God has already come, but it has not yet come in its fullness. But the fullness of God's kingdom will come when Christ returns for the second time. And this time, Christ will return as king and as judge. So we are living in this interim period where we call the last days. And in these last days, there are two wonderful promises that God gave in the prophecy to Joel. One, He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh, upon His sons and daughters and male and female servants. This is significant because God pours out His Spirit in the last days will be for all people, regardless of their social status, regardless of their age, regardless of their gender. And it's significant because up to the time in the Old Testament, up to the time of the Pentecost event itself, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, would come upon only selected individuals. For example, your priests, your prophets, and your kings. But in these last days, we would see that God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Everyone who repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus, God will pour out His Spirit upon them. All right? And the second promise is that in the last days, everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Everyone. The good news of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is meant for all people. And that is why God will call us to step out into the world, to place us in the place where His message and His gospel needs to be preached, proclaimed, and lived out. Just as how Brother Jerome and Sister Sharon shared, they were called out into the central part of Sri Lanka. So if I would just put this as a summary, what was the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? What was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for? What was the Pentecost event for? It was meant, in slide 16, it was meant to empower the disciples for their mission of being a witness to Christ. To continue what Jesus began to do as part of God's redemptive and plan, part of God's redemptive plan for the world, part of His salvation plan for the world in these last days. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not meant for our private entertainment. It's not just meant for us to come together as a church and we all feel good, wow, God is among us, and we, you know, dance in and we revel in it. It is meant for a mission. It is meant for us to be out there in the world, to be His witnesses. That is what the outpouring of the Spirit is for. So, what did the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, what did it result in back then? Three results, I'll quickly take you through. Firstly, there was the bold and there was the open proclamation of Jesus as Christ and as Lord. And that was at a mass level. The focus, when the Spirit came upon the disciples and they bubbled up, they burst forth in other tongues, what was the focus or the content of what they were saying? It was, they were telling of the mighty works of God. That was the focus of attention. Subsequently, we will see the Apostle Peter, when he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he gave his sermon to the crowds, what was his focus on as well? His focus was on the resurrected Christ. He proclaimed the Lord Jesus as Christ and as Lord. And you will see that this is in line with what Jesus has said the Holy Spirit would do in us and through us. That the Holy Spirit will point people to Christ. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. So that's the first outcome. The second outcome, which was that we see a transformation in the lives of the disciples. We see especially so in the Apostle Peter. It was a dramatic and remarkable transformation. From someone who denied Jesus three times and who ran away in fear, to someone right now who will stand in front of the crowd and he will boldly declare that Jesus is Christ and Lord. That was a remarkable transformation. The disciples, the rest of the disciples, were also a group that always seems to be bickering among each other. The rest of the disciples were also, they also scattered and they ran away in fear at the crucifixion of Jesus, when Jesus was sent to His crucifixion. But in this, at this Pentecost event, you read Acts chapter 2, they all stood together and they faced the crowd together. I would say that in fact, they were so passionate and zealous for Christ that not only did they not run away again in a hope to keep their lives, to save themselves, but they eventually, all of them, they laid down their lives for Christ. And they laid it down willingly in exchange for the eternal life that Christ Jesus has promised them. That was the transformation in the lives of the disciple. The third outcome was that there was a distinct and there was a deep love for God. The new disciples and all the disciples following the outpouring of the Spirit, following the infilling of the Spirit, What did they say in Acts chapter 2, chapter 42 to 47? Daily, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is the word of God that the apostles received from Jesus earlier. They had devoted themselves to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And you would see that their love for God was so passionate that they would meet daily. Daily in the temple to worship and to break bread, to have communion together. And I really hope, I'm not sure if you would join me in this, but I'm looking forward to the day where the Holy Spirit will fall upon us here at Grace City Church in such a way that we are so passionate and so zealous that we would look forward not just to Sundays, but to meet here daily and often, to break bread together and to worship our Lord together. Apart from their love from God, they also had a very distinct and radical love for one another. Because it was written here in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, that all who believed were together and they had all things in common. They actually sold their possessions and their belongings so that they were able to help those who were in need, those who were within the community of believers. They did not give their spare change that was in the pocket or that it was in their cars. Okay, they didn't have cars back then, but their spare change, they actually sold their possessions. This kind of love is not only being generous, it was selfless. A generous, selfless love. And we remember that this was also the same love that Jesus gave to us, where He emptied Himself. He became a suffering servant for our sake. So you would see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit resulted in three things. One, there was the proclamation of Jesus as Christ and as Lord. Two, there was transformation of lives that witnessed to Christ and were witnesses for Christ. And three, there was a distinct and deep love for God and for one another. In all of these three outcomes, Christ Jesus is proclaimed and glorified. And these three outcomes were what you will call the outward evidence of disciples who are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you were to just take, if I were to take you back again to what Sister Sharon has shared earlier on about how, the work that they are doing in the community, how the spiritual atmosphere has changed in that place, how the staff will encounter Jesus, how the parents will encounter Jesus, how the children will become outstanding. Are these not evidences of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because Christ is proclaimed, Christ is glorified. The lives are being transformed. And it leads them to a deeper love for God and a deeper love for one another. So if we are what we call, we are chasing after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these are the three outcomes that it needs, that we need to see. Now, I'll very quickly go down to this thing. How do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, individually and collectively as a body of Christ? Very quickly, a few steps. And these are for believers, all right? The baseline is this. We cannot produce and we cannot manufacture the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce a revival of God. We can't. It is His prerogative. It goes according to God's sovereign will and God's sovereign timing and His plan. But while we cannot produce it, we can posture ourselves for it. get into a posture for it. And that posture is a posture of submission and surrender. It's quite the opposite, because a lot of times today, we feel that we want to take control and we want to do something. We want to plan it out. We want to make it work. The posture is opposite. Surrender and submission. The first thing, that if we want to be filled with the Spirit, we have to determine within ourselves to be committed and to be faithful to the mission and the commission that Jesus, that God has given us. Because the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is meant for the mission. So we first have to be committed to say, yes, I own this mission. This is what I would do, Lord. You said it, I will do it, and I will follow. Just as how Sister Sharon shared, the Lord said, go, they went. The second thing that we need to do is to have a sense of anticipation. Believe that if God said that He will pour out His Spirit and that He will give you the Spirit, He will do so. Don't have a doubt on that. He will do so. Just as how Sister Sharon shared, that she has come to the point that she is completely convinced that God will provide. Has God said that He will provide? Yes. And she now is fully convinced. We too have to believe. The third thing to do is that we have to pray and ask. We have to seek for it. Seek. The word seek means to look for it earnestly, intently. Not just, oh, by the way, or if it's there, it's there. If I happen to see it, it's there, it's there. No. We have to earnestly desire for the spiritual gifts. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 14, verse 1. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And know this, that God wants to give us good gifts. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit if we would only ask. Next, we have to live our lives in a consecrated manner. If we know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, and we want the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, then our responsibility is to live a consecrated life. Keep our bodies, keep our lives consecrated and set apart for God. Do not entertain sin. Take away the idols that are in our lives. Do not take the grace of God for granted, saying that, you know, God has forgiven me, He will continue to forgive, so maybe I can just continue living my own life. God will forgive anyway. No, that is not how we abuse the grace of God. Live consecrated lives. Next, we have to yield and submit and surrender to the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit is prompting us in our hearts, then we have to submit to the Spirit of God. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is calling us and inviting us, would you partner the Holy Spirit in doing what He is doing in this place? Oh, Lord, let me have a look at that. Let me weigh out all the pros and benefits. Lord, you know that I have a family. I don't have this. I don't have this. That's the idea. That's what the infilling and the baptism of the Spirit is for. It's because we cannot do it. And that's why He fills us and empowers us to do it. Our role, the next thing to do, is to respond. Step out. Step forward in faith and in obedience. Don't yield to our flesh. Don't yield to fear. But choose to yield instead to the Spirit of God. These steps that I just told you, that I just gone through here, I'm sure anyone who has been in ministry, be it in the mission field or anyone in ministry, would tell you that these are exactly how we have to live. I would just like to maybe just end this time right now by sharing with you my own my own personal testimony. Ever since God called me into full-time ministry, I mean, I've always served God since I was young, since as young as I could be, being involved in various ways, serving in various ways. But when God called me into full-time ministry, I became even more acutely aware of my need for the Holy Spirit. Because I absolutely cannot do anything if He does not give me the empowerment to do so. If I cannot hear from Him, I cannot speak. I will not be able to pray for others. I will not be able to minister. I will not be able to preach or to teach or to even do normal conversations that will bring encouragement, that will bring a word in season, if I don't have the Holy Spirit. And so every day, my prayer to God every day is, Lord, please fill me and overwhelm me, overflow me with your Spirit. Please help me to submit to your Spirit in everything that you lead me to do, whether or not I think it's easy to do, it's a nice thing to do, what will people say, what will people think if I were to do it. My prayer is, Lord, if you said it, help me to submit myself and to do it. Help me to surrender and to crucify my flesh, my desires, my carnal nature, especially my nature of being impatient, my nature of being quick-tempered. And I can tell you that you ask my family, that's an area that I struggle with as well. But I pray daily, Lord, help me to crucify that so that I can have more and more of Christ in me and more of His nature in me. Because I don't want my life to be a stumbling block to people. I want my life to be a witness for Christ. Not me. When they look at me, they will not see me. They will see Christ. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, all of you, every single one of you who today call yourself a Christian and a disciple of Christ, all of you are in full-time ministry as well. Everyone. Why? Because Christ has also called you to be a witness to Him, a witness for Him. Every single one of us are called to make disciples of all nations, without exception. We are to be a witness for Christ, first and foremost, not just by talking, but by living our lives. And that's exactly how Brother Jerome, Sister Sharon has been living. You will see that in the days ahead, it is going to get harder and harder for us to actually preach the gospel or to talk about the gospel of Christ openly. But what they cannot hear so easily, let them see through our lives. Amen? And to do that, you and I, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I'd like us now to just bow our heads. And forgive me for being so direct, but I have to be direct. Do you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit in greater measures today and for the rest of your lives? Because, you see, the mission that Christ gave us to be His witnesses and to make disciples, this mission is a life mission. It is the reason why He has left us here or kept us here in this world. It's the reason why He's sustaining us in this world, so that we can be a witness for Him, so that we can make disciples of Christ in every nation, so that we can be His hands, His feet, and His lips in this place. Do you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? And the second question would be this: are we willing to commit ourselves to our God-given mission, to our God-given commission to be a witness for Him, to be a disciple who makes disciples? Are we willing? Because if we are willing, and if we would avail ourselves and say, Lord, here am I, use my life, use me, let me be that channel of blessing, let me be the instrument of peace, then I can certainly assure you, this is exactly what God wants for us, and He will give you the Holy Spirit. He will pour out His Spirit upon you in increasing measures as we walk and we submit to Him closer and closer. We will experience more and more of His Spirit. So are you willing to commit yourself to the mission? And do you want to live in the power of your Spirit? Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to give an invitation right now. If you are one of those who says, and you don't have to respond to the invitation, no obligations, no pressure as well. But if you say, yes, I want to commit myself to the mission that God has given me to be a witness for Him, I want to commit to the commission to make disciples of all nations, to be a disciple and to be one who will make disciples of all nations. If you say, yes, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to do just that, then I'd like you to take a step of faith. Take a step of faith by stepping forward from your seats and come to the front and respond to the Lord. Let that step of faith, as you step forward from your seat, be your act or your demonstration, your expression of commitment to the Lord. Not to me, not to any of the pastors, but to the Lord Himself. Let it be that step of faith for you to the Lord to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Use me and fill me and reveal your glory through me. If that is you, would you take a step of faith and step forward now? And then I'm going to have the pastors to come up and we will pray for you. We will anoint you with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit working and empowering you.